going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX, Mark's Kors and Ranji. Hello.
That's what Hour we were going to name the show.
And then we decided not to.
Because one can spell it.
Nobody can spell either of them.
How would you Google Mark's Kors and Ranji? Nobody would know.
Mark's Kors would be easier to, to spell
Ranji
out.
Ranji would be R-A-N-J-I.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, that's how I would.
So we decided to go with a simple one. Which I don't even like that name either.
Chris,
I don't
and
like
Amy.
Any of the names we came up. I didn't like the show. I didn't like Chris and
I
Amy. I don't like our
show.
Last name. You did?
Mm-hmm.
That was an accident.
Chris and Amy is fine.
It's fine. It's not great.
I mean,
it's
Mike fine. And Mike. At any rate, this was part of our workplace drama, honestly, was trying to find a name for
I
our
think
stupid
it was the,
show.
It was the most difficult part about starting when it was you, me, and Kevin. And that was like impossible when they said, come up with a name for your show. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's Chris and Amy and Kevin show. That doesn't work.
Yeah, that didn't work at all. So we didn't go with that.
We thought of, I thought of the poo poo platter.
You did?
Yeah. I've always loved
should've the
poo poo platter.
Hey, it's the poo poo platter on.
And now it's time for the poo poo platter. On KMOX. So, it's a little bit of everything. It makes sense. As a name, the poo-poo, honestly, we are the poo-poo platter of radio.
It's a little bit of everything.
It is. We do sports. We do a little politics. We do local, national, cultural, workplace issues, pocketbook issues. It is a true poo-poo platter. And I think, I'm going to make a note. We're going to make a...
And sometimes it's just flat out poo-poo. You know? So... I think it did. It brought Kevin and you and me much closer together.
As everyone made fun of us and we had to defend ourselves against
your name's
the masses.
Your show's called The Show. Pretty clever. Like, yeah, we know it's not clever.
I totally get it.
So there was a study done by the Journal of Management Studies. And they based all their data on research that they gathered from studying a South Korean broadcasting company. Of course, this is not...
Oh.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily an American study, but humans are humans, right?
I mean, cultures. I would say the South Korean culture is markedly different from U.S. culture.
Sure. However...
In a lot of ways.
Well, yes. But I think that humans have... innate characteristics,
yes.
Like we all share the same sort of things.
We're all
so, like,
selfish.
There's a thing called camaraderie. And camaraderie exists, or it can come from hating a coworker together at the same time.
There are some people that have brought us together.
Right? We're not going to name names. Some of them may or may not still be here.
At any rate, no, but the data showed that workplace drama brings people together.
So what they have discovered that shared memories, even difficult ones, mm-hmm. like firings or strikes or dislike of a single employee can unite other employees across the border. So I think this is very interesting, because now I think back on not just my experience here at the station, mm-hmm. and I love almost everybody here. You know, every now and then there's a person I'm mm-hmm. like, ugh. But it is very true, because I can think back to old jobs that I've had, and there's always been like one person that everybody talks about. And maybe I've been that person, too. It's possible.
100% you've been that person.
I mean, I'm enjoyable, so I don't know why you would hate me.
Let's give out the number, 314-436-7900. Call or text about your workplace drama, if it brought you together or if it ripped you apart.
And tell us exactly what happened. You don't have to name names.
You
don't have to give the company. You can if you want.
Yeah, like Bob at Enterprise.
Yeah. Bob Johnson at Enterprise. He works in the accounting department.
You can be anonymous and you know, protect the innocent or the not innocent. Yeah, it's interesting, Ranj, because there is that fine line between workplace drama bringing you together and just making every day a living hell that you want to escape. And I will say, I've technically been coming into Studio B since 2016, but really employed since 2019, full-time, doing this job. I would say
you worked for free for 3 years?
Well, I worked for the Blues,
okay.
Not KMOX.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think firings have brought us together. Like, I don't feel closer to anyone because people were fired. That always feels
no,
kinda
no,
like,
no. I think that means people who were fired together at the same time.
Well,
like,
then
if there
that's
was
not
a
work. Then it's not longer your workplace. I don't think that's what
well,
it means.
No, it of course it does. Because let's say you don't really know your coworkers and you all get fired and then you start, you know, texting each other like, hey, man, what the hell's going on? And then you become fast friends as a result. I could see that happening.
Well, we used to get pizza when people got fired, and we don't get pizza anymore.
I don't know what that's all about.
I know.
We should get pizza.
I do think there are some people who by nature of who they are, bring other people together. I had a mean grandma, and she would sometimes say very mean things about us and my cousins. And I will say it brought us closer together because it gave us something to laugh about at the dinner table.
Okay.
Like when my grandma said I was going to become a prostitute.
That's right. And then she said you were getting too big, right?
She said I was starting to look like a man. She said I needed to be careful with all the running because I was getting big. My legs were getting big and I was starting to look like a man. And no one would want to marry me, and I would end up working the streets. But it actually brought us all together. It made Thanksgiving and other holidays pretty funny.
See?
Because my aunt would send me, like, pictures of thigh-high boots and go, should you buy these now?
Oh, my God. You should have shown up to a family gathering in those, like, pleather boots.
Do you remember? Because we were joking. Do you remember?
Patent leather? You should. Oh, yes.
I think it was the Queen of Hearts Lounge in Fenton. I think it got shut down.
Okay.
So I had to find a different place, I guess, to work.
You really should have shown up and seen what Grandma had to say. That
would
have been
great. It was fun, but it brought us together, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird because it's probably not the nicest thing to have a single coworker that everybody just has bonded over how terrible they are. Because it almost feels like it's just as bad behavior, isn't it? If you and maybe four or five other coworkers can't stand somebody you work with, and you're all getting together and talk about that person, doesn't that also make you part of the problem too?
Well, of course, gossip is always wrong. However, no, it is.
Some people deserve it.
I think sometimes there can be one person who is galvanizing by nature of them just being pretty unpalatable on every front.
I would totally agree with
that. Yes, and I think I'm sure when I worked at Fleet Feet, I loved all my coworkers. I'm still friends. I worked at that job. It was a retail job in 2006. I'm still like lifelong friends with these people. That's how special it was working at that running store. That's pretty unique. So they really brought in good people. But every now and then, you'd bring in the oddball.
Oh, there'd be some person.
Yes, and that person
won't stop talking.
Well, that person is still talked about today. We're like, remember when this happened? Because their conduct is just so unbelievable. And like I said, Fleet Feet hires the best people. They're still some of my greatest friends from working there 20 years ago. Love it. But, you know, every now and then you get an odd duck. And that usually the odd duck doesn't last very long.
I used to work with a guy probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. And this feels really mean to say this now, but he was sort of stinky. And he would always wear a leather jacket no matter what. It didn't matter what the temperature was outside. Yeah. He was wearing a leather jacket. And so
That's
I thought,
unusual.
Okay, I don't know if he's hiding a weapon. I don't know what the thing is here. But this doesn't, it's 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's pretty humid out. Why do you have a leather jacket on? But he would do that. And I felt bad about it, but it was hard to not notice it and to not talk about it with your coworkers.
I will say, a leather jacket is a statement. Because, like, if you're indoors and you have a sweater or a pullover, like Debbie will get cold in the summer, right? So she'll have a sweater on in the summertime, yeah, or it's warm out. You've got a little half zip or whatever it is you have on. That's understandable. A leather jacket's a statement. To always wear a leather jacket.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. And I don't know what the statement is, but it is a statement.
I had a friend who was convinced that he got fired from Qdoba for not wearing socks. He's like, I mean, I got fired. He's like, I didn't wear socks one day and I got fired. And I thought, well, that's a huge health code violation.
Yeah, I think you have to have socks and shoes on.
Yeah.
No sandals.
But then he would always, you know, but again, he's like, I know, but I can't believe I got fired one day for not wearing socks. I was also always super high. So and I go, well, maybe that's what it was.
It is.
Well, you can't show up to work super high all the time.
But I think you can get fired if they tell you to wear socks and you refuse to wear socks.
Oh my gosh.
Because
can you
it's
imagine
a violation.
Anyone preparing your food without socks on? That's disgusting.
How about just straight up flip-flops?
Oh.
And they're making your food for you.
Oh.
Right? This texter to 314-436-7900 says, when another worker, a coworker, gets fired, those who are still there are concerned they might be next. So that could form a bit of a click, mm-hmm, with the remaining people. Like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to us? I could see some unions being formed as a result of that. You're all worried about losing your jobs. Mm-hmm. So you find comfort in each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. All I know is I think every workplace has that oddball. And it can be torture to work with that oddball. But in the end, it's probably a good thing. It's good for morale.
I agree with
Brings
you.
Brings people together.
I totally agree with you.
To complain about.
Or a lousy boss. That'll bring people together.
You know, yeah, but that I don't think you can overcome the frustration of having a lousy boss.
No, but you can become better friends with your coworkers.
Until you quit because you hate life.
That's right. Thankfully, we have the best boss in America.
Steve.
Who's probably listening.
From his boat.
Please do not talk about his boat. He's going to get so upset with you.
Steve is the best boss, though.
He's pretty good. We could do some tweaking. And maybe we'll talk to him about that in the next meeting, I think.
So we do want to hear from you, 314-436-7900. Any coworker drama that you have, we'd love to hear it.
Texter would like to know if you know of any restaurants where they allow people to fix your food without socks. Please let me know, they say.
That's so gross.
Is that
gross.
So you can go there?
It's so gross.
What if they prepare the food with their feet?
Well, that's, come on, Ronj. Now you're being redonkulous.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ronji, 104.1 FM KMOX. 104.1 FM KMOX. You could tell your smart speaker to play KMOX. You could tell your smart speaker to play the Chris and Amy show, and it will give you the latest podcast of it. So that's a way to listen to us. The Odyssey app, very easy to use. Put that on your phone. And with it, you can also send us voice messages directly from the app. So if we're talking about something and you love it or you hate it or you have your own ideas, just record a message and send it to Amy or me.
There you go.
Or Matt Pajeski, who is our producer.
We were talking about workplace drama,
mm-hmm,
and whether or not you've had workplace drama and if it's brought you closer together with your coworkers. So
yeah.
We want to hear from you. I do want to make this note, Ronj. There are a lot of people in St. Louis County who have grown up bowling at West County Lanes. West County Lanes in Ellisville, near Manchester and Clarkson.
Yep.
And during recent storms this winter, they had their roof collapsed. A support beam broke.
Yeah.
And the building was condemned. And so it's been closed since, I think, February now. West County Lanes is a staple in West County. It's been open since the 1960s. I think it was 1965. I grew up bowling at West County Lanes. They have, and all the bowlers listening will get this, real wooden lanes, which apparently a lot of new bowling alleys have composites where it's a mix of like wood and, I don't know, fiberglass, whatever it is that they use. But they have real wooden lanes. So my cousin, remember Will from Bloomington?
No. Yes.
Yes, Will from Bloomington.
No.
Well, we're going to the Cardinal game on Sunday. He's coming in.
Oh, Will.
In. But he and his wife are bowlers. They each have two balls. They do. They each have two bowling balls depending on the types of lanes. And they came in town and bowled at West County Lanes and were blown away by the real wooden lanes. They loved them because apparently the ball rolls differently and so forth and so forth. And so West County Lanes is reaching out to the community for help so that they can reopen. They've been open since the 60s. It's family owned. It's Brentwood Voss runs the company now, runs West County Lanes. And he's been, like I said, working there since he was a kid. When I was a kid, the West County Christian Home Educators would bowl. They had homeschool day.
Yeah.
So imagine this. You get home and you've got a blinking light on your message machine. Remember the message machines?
Like an answering machine?
Yes.
Yes, I remember answering
Matt
machines.
Matt doesn't. Matt
yes,
doesn't.
Yes, I do.
You said you didn't.
No, I didn't say that.
We had a little gray one.
And it lights up red.
And the light would blink up, and this is what we'd get. Beep. Praise the Lord. The West County Christian Home Educators will be bowling once again on Tuesdays. Remember, you are representing the Lord, and it, like, have your conduct and so forth and so forth.
They had robocalls?
No, that was a lady.
It was just a lady?
Yeah, she would leave.
She had to call each individual phone number and leave that message?
She recorded it. Oh, and then would, yeah.
Right.
But, and it was always started with praise the Lord. The West County Christian Home Educators will be bowling at West County Lanes once again. They were awesome. They had homeschool bowling day. Do you know how many homeschool bowling days I went to? We used to call it the homeschool discount if your khaki pants were a couple inches too short. It's a very niche joke, but all homeschoolers will get it. But it's just a true community.
Amy, I love when you speak to an audience of 11. Hey, all 11 of you out there will get this one.
They really will.
It's just
they really will get it.
Oh my God, it's
gonna
the best.
And you know what? They're loving it right now. They're going like this. Ah, they're dying. But anyway, they are seeking help from the community. People had birthday parties there. When you had your birthday party, they'd give you a bowling pin, and everyone who went to the party would sign the bowling pin, and then you'd get to take it home. It was the best. Anyway, let's see, what's the website? WestCountyLanes.com. You can get more information. They're reaching out to the community for help because they just survived the COVID years.
Yeah.
They got back to business. And as Brentwood Voss, the guy who runs it now, said, we're not making a ton of money running a bowling alley. He said they do it for the love of the game and the community, pretty slim margins, and they would love to come back. Once you lose a place like this, as they noted, they're gone. You know, you can't get old community businesses back. So
the insurance won't cover what it would cost.
It looks like it's not going to cover all of the damage, but they're also trying to pay their employees while they're
right,
closed.
Right, right, right.
They're trying to make sure that all of these employees just aren't out, you know, high and dry. They want to make sure that they can pay them. So that's, he said currently his biggest concern is making sure the employees are paid.
That's great. And yeah. I hope that the community does come together for them. That sucks. It sucks for there to be a business there for what, 60 years or longer, and then have something like that happen.
Yeah. And it's condemned. You know, it's not just we have some repairs. It's major repairs because of the support beams that broke. So they're asking if you have pictures or videos of West County Lanes to, you know, send them to their website, westcountylanes.com. We also have a voice message on the Odyssey app.
From Judy, who wants to talk about socks and
well, don't
work
tell
pants.
Us. Just play it.
I feel damn, like it is man. A context.
As for preparing food without socks, have you guys ever been out of the country to the Caribbean, Central America, Philippines, most of the world, does not wear socks. Just saying. Number two.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I worked with a guy who, this was computer programming. All his work had to be done over. So they paid for him to do it and for someone else to redo it. And he couldn't make a deadline, but he never said anything. So, and when it's a government deadline, you got to make it. The IRS won't wait.
Well, did you beat him up? Did you hold him down and hit him with socks full of quarters?
No, most of the world doesn't wear socks, Ronj.
Well, this was in America, baby. And she's probably right.
She's
about
probably right. I do like the perspective. Every time,
it's
every
true.
Now and again, you need the 30,000 foot view, which is most of the world doesn't wear socks.
I'm aware that we probably here are more conscious of germs,
mm-hmm.
and you know, hand sanitizer and all of that kind of stuff. And maybe elsewhere they're not, and they probably don't get as sick as we do, right? Because we kill every germ possible. I don't care though. I don't want to get food from somebody.
This is where I do like some regulation.
I agree with you. I do not want to take food from somebody that got their toes out. Nobody cleans between their toes.
I do. You have to go like
if you're preparing street food, I bet you don't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely don't want you
That's
to do
rude.
It while you're well, not while you're making the food.
Arenado with a half swing, a tap out in front of the plate, fair ball. He's tagged out by Murphy.
Oh.
And this ball game has come to an end. Arenado with a nick of the bat on strike three in the first inning. Couldn't get the bat out of the way here, and he taps out two unassisted. And the Braves, they let out a sigh of relief, hanging on to win 7-6.
Chris and Amy's show on 104.1 FM, KMOX, and the Cardinals have lost five straight games. The Blues are coming back home after dropping the first two games of the series to Winnipeg. They need a win, and probably need to win both of them, really. I mean, I guess they can come back down 3-1, but you would like to even up this series before you go back to Winnipeg. Just not a good position for either team to be in. We go to the guest line. This morning, we bring in KMOV sports anchor and reporter Grace Ibarra, who is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Grace?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, why do these teams, why do they stink
right
now? Well, it's been a rough weekend, let me tell you. I worked the last 5 days, and I feel like every night I'm putting losses on the air. So it's been tough.
The Cardinals right now, not in a good stretch, in a bit of a funk. How much do you think this is a funk? And how much do you think it's just, okay, the team is settling down from their decent start, their hot offense, and is now kind of falling back to the mean, regressing to the mean?
Yeah, I think that could definitely be it. It's so hard to get a read on this team right now. Like you said, that awesome start, they sweep the Twins to start the season, but they have been so bad on the road, 1-10 now on the road. And when they come back to Busch Stadium, they kind of look like a different team. They beat the Phillies, they beat the Astros, two really solid teams. So I'm just trying to get a read on them still. And I'm curious to see when they come back from Atlanta this weekend and play the Brewers at home, how they look, if it's an issue between home and road, or like you said, they're just regressing from that good start.
Yeah, it's strange to see them play so poorly on the road. I mean, it's not unusual that a team does worse on the road than they do at home. That happens a lot in sports, especially in baseball. But for them to be so bad on the road, they're like one of the three teams that are the worst. They're 1-9. You've got the, well, I guess they're 1-10 now. You know, you've got that. You have the Sox, who are about the same record away from home. The Rockies are the same deal. I mean, just from watching them, does there seem to be a reason they are worse on the road, or do you feel like this is just kind of how it's played out so far with no real reason for it?
I think it's just how it's played out so far. If there's anything I'm going to point to in the last, I don't know, five games, it's going to be the bullpen. But I don't think that, you know, is dependent on home versus away. So it's kind of strange that they've only been able to muster one win away from Busch Stadium.
Yeah, when you're looking at this team, I think there's hope in the youth to let them develop, but if you have a guy like Jordan Walker in the outfield, you're taking him out, you're replacing him with a different glove, are they getting the development that they need?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Ollie keeps pointing back to all of these are learning experiences, and these losses, these getting swept by the Mets is a learning experience for his youth. But like you said, at what point is, you know, we're going to take these losses and teach the younger guys something versus, hey, at some point we have to start winning these games and not everything can be a teaching moment for the youth.
Grace Ibarra is with KMOV, covers sports there for that station. And we, you know what, I know that people, when a team is not doing well, especially baseball, the first thing they do is they go to the manager. It's got to be the manager. He's pushing the wrong buttons. He's making the wrong decisions, bullpen management, whatever it is. As you look at the Cardinals now and the difficulty they've had, do you think it is about him? Do you think it's about the roster? How do you see it? And, you know, I ask this question knowing we're not even through April yet.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the bullpen, obviously a lot of that falls on him, but I think the issues that they find themselves are in the fact that they didn't make any moves in the offseason. You have essentially the same roster you did last season, and you see how they did last season, so if you're expecting a different result, it's kind of crazy to expect this team to just magically turn it around. So I would point more to the fact that this is the roster they have, but obviously some of it falls on Ollie when you're looking at, you know, small game adjustments, keeping a pitcher in too long, but I would say it mostly boils down to the roster at hand.
Well, speaking of teams that are going to magically turn it around, the St. Louis Blues have a game on Thursday night at Enterprise, dropping both games in Winnipeg. And it's tough to win on the road in the playoffs, as Ronge has pointed out multiple times. He is frustrated that that Saturday game, when the Blues were in control going into the third period, and they did what they did so many times during that 12-game win streak, they let their opponent into it in the final minutes of the game. They gave up a lead. They end up losing that game. That was the game they were supposed to steal on the road. Now they're in a hole, but being at home, the Blues are playing really well at Enterprise, and you get a couple of wins, the whole series starts over.
Right. I think that Saturday game is going to haunt them this entire series. It's crazy that they had that much momentum going into the third period, and they'd been pretty good in the third period throughout the last month. Obviously, like you said, during that 12-game win streak, they had let people back into it, but they had still figured out ways to close it out. So it was kind of weird to see them over the last two games kind of roll over in the third period. But like you said, they've been so good at home. I think Binnington's on a 10-game win streak at home right now, mm-hmm. So obviously who you'd want to have there in net. The fans have been incredible. I'm excited to see what that atmosphere looks like. And huge, huge game. Cannot understate how big this one is on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know that this team comes back from down 3-1. It's been done before. Does this team have the juice to come back from that if they don't take both of these games at home?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you didn't think they might have had the juice to get back in the wild card picture before the Four Nations break, and then they go out and they do what they did. So I've been taught not to underestimate this team, but I do think with the amount of youth they have, it's going to take a lot of discipline, and that's something we didn't maybe see in game one, and I think these guys are starting to settle in, but they're going to need everybody on the same page.
Wasn't last night Jimmy Snuggerud's 9th NHL game ever?
Yeah, and
that's insane. He was playing college hockey a couple of weeks ago. Now he's scoring a goal in the NHL playoffs.
And the national announcers are talking about him like he's playing. I didn't say he played like a veteran, but they say basically that he was playing older than he is.
Well,
a mature game. That's the phrase they
use. He was on the ice with fewer than 60 seconds left in the game last night. That says a lot about what the coach thinks of you when you play Jimmy Snuggerud on the ice with a minute to go.
Yeah, and even going into the game, Jim Montgomery made that adjustment of switching Snuggaroo to that top line, switching Jake Nabers down to the second line. He wants him to play with Booch. He wants him to play with Thomas. I mean, that is about as high of regard as you could give someone. And he, like you said, was playing college hockey a month ago. He does not look like a guy that is playing his ninth NHL game.
Just, Grace, and you covering this team toward the end of the regular season and just how they played, and I guess the atmosphere in the locker room, the tone, how different was it then than, you know, like earlier in the season when things weren't as good?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that you can sense in the air. In the locker room, these guys genuinely enjoy being around each other. I sat down with Zach Bolduc before they left for Winnipeg, and I was like, we saw what happened on the ice to make this happen, but tell me what happened off the ice. How are you guys able to put together 12 wins in a row? And he said, it's just because we like each other. We have all these team dinners together all the time. There's not a single person on this team that, you know, someone doesn't like. There's the sense of community, all these relationships they've been able to build, and I think it really shows in the way that they've built that chemistry on the ice as well.
When you look at the Blues, the decision last night to go 11-7 with 11 forwards, 7D, what was Jim Montgomery's reasoning behind dressing 7D?
I think he wanted to have, you know, more rotations between the forward, but then obviously the Jets are such, you know, they have so much offensive power that having, you know, extra defensemen extra forward and rotating the defenseman just would help with, you know, giving Parayko a break. And I think it's an interesting decision. I wasn't, you know, expecting to see Tyler Tucker out there. And I think he did have some of his struggles, but that was a decision I think he made close to puck drop. So we didn't necessarily get an explanation about it before the game. So I'm not 100% sure what it was made to do, but I'm very curious to see if he sticks with it going into game three.
Grace Ibarra covers the Blues, covers the Cardinals, covers sports for KMOV here in St. Louis, sports anchor and reporter. Grace, we appreciate your time today. Go get a rally towel. The game's Thursday? Game three,
yes,
Thursday?
Game's Thursday.
They brought rally towels to us today, and I'm holding one. Are you jealous?
Oh, so are those going to be out there?
I don't know. They brought them to us, though.
They brought us a cookie cake.
And they brought us cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I need to get over there and get some.
Yeah, come on over.
We said, who brought the cookie cake? And Debbie Monterey said, the Blues.
I was like, oh, well, that's nice.
I think it might have been Jordan Bennington. I think he probably brought the cake.
Wait, Grace, are you saying you didn't get any of this over at KMOV?
Well, I haven't been into work yet. So, okay. You know, there better be a cookie cake waiting.
If there's not, what are you going to do?
Yeah. He'll ask the coach about it.
Call up Jim Montgomery myself.
Yeah.
Ask him what happened.
Dude, I'd raise some hell if I were you.
Yeah, I want a rally towel.
Well, we'll save one for you just in case.
Thanks.
Grace Ibarra, we appreciate it. Thank you for being with us today and enjoy tomorrow night. Or no,
no
two
problem.
Nights from the Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday. Yep. 2 days off.
2 days off. All right. Talk to you soon, Grace.
See ya. Thanks.
Grace Ibarra with KMOV sports anchor and reporter. Hey, maybe we're special.
Amy, I think we
are. Have you thought about that? Have you thought that maybe they just brought us stuff?
That was my initial thought.
Look at that. Look at that rally towel. I hope they give these out on Thursday.
I think they will, Ron.
Actually,
it's a
it doesn't matter.
Game.
I already have one.
They didn't make four rally towels. They made 20,000, and they're absolutely bringing them on Thursday.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM KMOX. Okay, so this story, Amy, saw it with NBC News. It was the first reporting of it that I saw. There is this scientist who works at Harvard, and she is Russian. She's a 30-year-old Russian-born scientist who is working at Harvard and doing some research on cancer diagnostics. And her name is Ksenia Petrova, and she has been in ICE custody since the middle of February because she had gone out of the country, had come back, and was arrested at Boston Airport in the middle of that month of February. And now she has been taken to a facility in Monroe, Louisiana. and now is fighting possible deportation to Russia. She's afraid of going back to Russia because she has been critical of the way Russia has behaved in Ukraine, and she's been she has participated in protests against it. At any rate, she was stopped because she was bringing back, for research purposes, she had frog embryos that were being used, and I don't know specifically what they were for. But typically, when that happens, according to the reporting here, there is a fine and maybe a confiscation of the embryos if you don't declare them, okay? And usually that fine is about $50. It can be upwards of $500. Usually a first-time violation is like a $50 fine, so usually not a big deal. What they did instead was they canceled her J-1 scholar visa. Now, this is somebody who is working on cancer research and is able to do something that at the moment very few people in the country are capable of doing. And I don't know all the science behind whatever the cancer diagnostic work she is doing, because I'm not a scientist, so I don't understand it. But this seems, I think the bigger point here is it feels like we are now creating an environment in the last several months where you are discouraging people who are otherwise brilliant,
yeah,
and have been for decades coming to this country to learn, to work, maybe to do some great research that helps all of us, that helps the greater good. You are discouraging people, actively discouraging them from wanting to come here and wanting to live. This is so counterintuitive to building a good, smart American society. And I get it. I know that there's this immigration thing, and you know, right now that seems to be the main goal of this administration, is to get rid of all these people who are here. And yeah, I know, legal, illegal, whatever. I get it. But this is not productive. This isn't good.
Yeah.
Stuff like this. So, if we're going to get rid of people, it can't be people who are doing good research. And she has been in this prison now, or this jail or facility or whatever, since the middle of February. That's nuts.
Yeah. Department of Homeland Security spokesperson told NBC News yesterday that Petrova had been, quote, lawfully detained after lying to federal officers about carrying substances into the country. But Petrova said, yes, they asked if I have any biological samples in my luggage, and I said yes. And then she went on to describe the confusion over the procedures of why she had those substances, what it looks like. Now, Dr. Leon Peshkin is a principal research scientist at Harvard's Department of Systems Biology, and he's also Petrova's manager and mentor, and he received a call from Customs and Border Protection after she was detained. I don't know how that call didn't clarify. Like, that should have solved.
They said they gave her, they gave them very little information protect her identity. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that didn't clear things up. But at any rate, I feel like it should have. Now it's months down the road. And Dr. Peshkin was asked, okay, are you concerned now that these policies and the confusion and their enforcement might discourage other international scientists from coming to Harvard or the U.S.? And he said, quote, I'm not concerned that it may. I am horrified that it does.
Yep. And here there are numbers to support it. Nature, which is a scientific journal, talked to 1,600 scientists who were surveyed. 75% of them, they said, considered relocating to Europe or Canada, citing the actions taken by the administration. There's a database from Inside Higher Ed showing that as of the middle of this month, more than 240 colleges and universities have reported that 1,550 international students and recent graduates have had their legal status changed by the U.S. State Department. Now, yeah, some of this might be justified, but I guarantee you that in the end, years from now, when we look back on this, this will be very bad for the country, because the last thing we want is a brain drain.
Yeah.
We do not want to discourage smart people from coming here. And I'm sorry, but this administration is actively doing that right now.
Well, as you mentioned, what's really concerning, too, is that she has, you mentioned she's Russian. she's spoken out against Putin.
Yeah.
And she said,
she's afraid to go back.
She goes, there's no way you won't be in prison. There's no way you won't be arrested. And again, Dr. Peshkin said, we don't know if they deport her. We don't know if we'll ever see her again if they send her back to Russia, because she has openly spoken out against Putin.
You know that phrase, throwing out the baby with the bathwater? That's what we're doing here.
I feel like we're throwing out more babies than bathwater at this
point. That is, well, that is exactly
right. I feel
right.
like we're picking out
You're
the babies.
You're throwing out people who are contributing. Either at a high level like this person is, or a lower level, people doing manual labor that we desperately need. We're getting rid of all these people who are contributing. It's just, it's madness. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX when we come back. We've got a full hour, one more hour of the show. The Gas House Gang will happen at 12 o'clock today. Ollie Marmol, the manager of the Cardinals, joins us for the first half hour of that show on KMOX.